Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on Thursday, the 21st of July, 2016. Well, we're 3 weeks into not a drop of rain at the Buckmaster household in the foothills. I know it's rained all around us, but this would be very unusual if we don't get any rain in July, but we can hold out some hope, even though the rain chances have now gone down, at least for the next couple of days, around 10%. Buckmaster Show Live Line, 790-2040 for your calls and comments. We invite you also to become a friend of ours on Facebook. In addition, you can follow us at Twitter at Buckmaster Show. This week, we've been focusing on the District 10 primary, which has three Democrats vying for two seats. The top two vote-getters then will face off against Republican Todd Clodfelter, and then the top two will go to Phoenix. Well, we've met State Representative Stephanie Mock a couple of days ago, and we met Kirsten Engel, UA Law professor. Stephanie Mock, by the way, is the incumbent. And Courtney Froggy is with us right now. She has managed a lot of political campaigns here in the state of Arizona. Courtney, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me today, Bill.
The Froggy name is unusual. I don't think I've ever heard it.
Probably because it was made up.
It was made up?
Yes, a typical immigrant story. My paternal grandfather, early years in Arizona statehood, was scouting land for local businesses when he realized people in rural Arizona couldn't pronounce Froch. He decided to put an E on it, and the rest is history. Courtney Froggy is now running for LD10 State House in the same state.
You've got a name that a lot of people, once you hear it, you'll never forget it.
What
are you looking for? What are you putting at the top? First of all, why'd you get into this? And then what are some of your priorities in the campaign?
Thank you for asking. Bill, I got into this race not despite what's going on in our community and across our beautiful nation, but because of it. I'm a fifth generation Arizonan. I'm born here in District 10. It is relationships that allowed me to get through Arizona schools, go on to earn undergraduate degrees from the University of San Francisco, read philosophy at Oxford, and later earn my master's in science from the London School, and then ultimately return home to District 10 when one of the most profound relationships of my life, my grandmother, was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Mm-hmm. I returned home, as many young Arizonans do, to take care of our family. And in the few months leading up to her passing, she helped me realize that I should focus here at home. And that's exactly what I did. My first step was, how may I be of service to others? And from that moment on, for nearly 10 years, I haven't looked back. I've been working with our community to achieve progressive policies on the city and statewide level. I've worked for numerous candidates, the majority of my hopefully future colleagues in the legislature. So I'm ready to continue our work of building coalitions on day one. And my primary issues are education, infrastructure, and healthcare. Public education, because I would not even be able to say my own name on your radio show today if it wasn't for the 6 years of free speech therapy I received in Arizona public schools. Mm. The infrastructures, which we are a dry port, and until we can upgrade our infrastructure, we're going to continue to arrest our own economic viability and progress. And finally, healthcare. I received life-saving open heart surgery at UMC in 1982.
Really?
I would not be here today if it wasn't for the sacrifices and the coalition work and the relationships of people who've come before me. And it is an honor to that I am running today, because I am uniquely positioned to be able to continue, as I said, to do this work at the legislature. To be clear, I am running for LD10's second House seat. I am privileged and honored to be running as a team with Senator Bradley and Representative Mock. Both Representative Mock and Senator Bradley have been able to work across the aisle and have bills passed through committee, passed by the legislature, and signed by the governor. We need to return their work. And again, they see the same thing in me. They've endorsed me, as well as the mayor and the entire city council have agreed, have endorsed me, as well as fire, labor, the tech council, just to name a few, including the realtors. So it's a diverse coalition, both in our work as well as the broad and deep community support of our campaign.
Can you work with Republicans to get something done? And that's what always comes up, because Democrats don't really have a seat at the table because you are in the minority up in Phoenix.
Right, absolutely. And as a fifth generation Arizonan, I not only can, but I have. When we go to the hospital, we don't ask our cardiologist to see their voter registration card. When we go to the store, when we call 911, when we call our fire department, this is not how we behave in our community. There, and it's time, it's past time that our government reflects the successes in our home.
How is it different working now in front of the microphone?
You
have brought candidates to the microphone, but
yes.
Of course they do their own talking, and you're behind the scenes, kind of the back office, if you will. How is this different? You're the candidate now.
Absolutely. It's to be honest, it's uncomfortable.
Okay.
But I want to walk in this truth, not just for myself and because I know that on day one I can lead, but I want my peers, my colleagues here at home to know that I, as a 34-year-old single woman, can do this, so can you. We need to vote, and we need to stand up, walk in our truth, take uncomfortable steps, and make sure that we're taking back our government, because we still believe it is of the people, by the people, and for the people. And if you don't like it, please join me. Come stand, come walk, and let's lead together.
How about Prop 123? Were you voting for that? Did you vote for it?
You know, 123 was the most difficult piece of legislation we've seen. My family, my grandmother made it clear to me that what got her off a farm on the west side of Phoenix and able to earn her PhD and later found a department at the University of Education was Arizona Public Schools and the state land trusts. Last year, as soon as this came out, I was vocally against it on my Facebook page at DGT, Democrats of Greater Tucson. However, the longer this went on, the closer we got. I, again, value the people that are doing the work, the people that are leading the education movement, and I have strong relationships with them. And at a point, I realized I could not continue to, you know, finger wag to anyone on either side. This was a difficult conversation, and we needed what I invited our community to do is bring together as many people as possible, particularly multi-generations, and have an honest conversation in home.
So you felt a voting no would be a saying no to our teachers, in effect.
No to our teachers, but also if we think that we could vote no to try to get the governor to follow through and have his word be his bond, it's just not going to happen.
We're speaking with Courtney Froggy. She is one of three Democrats vying for two seats in the upcoming Arizona primary. And you are campaigning, because I've seen your signs with you guys have kind of going as a team with Representative Mock and Senator Bradley.
Yes. Yeah. Signs are out. We have lip pieces that are already in voters' mailboxes. We have an amazing team of grassroots volunteers that are knocking doors and making calls every day. We have been for over 10 months now. The voters deserve this.
And of course, the reason there is an open seat, and I did not mention that in the opening, but I probably should have, and I'll do it right now, is because State Representative Bruce Wheeler has decided that he's going to retire. Now, whether Bruce will stay retired, right. I've known Bruce a long time, going back to the Tucson City Council, and he's come out of retirement before, but right now this is his, he wants to do some other things. He's a tremendous photographer. He's traveled the world getting some wonderful pictures, and I'm sure he'll do a lot of that. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's completely out of the political picture, Courtney.
I couldn't either. You know, he was first elected when he was 25 years old. It's in his constitution, if you will. I can completely relate to that as well. I have a hard time believing he will stay retired. And either way, hopefully, he will stay involved in our community. I believe he will.
All right, Courtney Froggy, where can people find out more?
Thank you. Our website is froggyforhouse.com, froggyforhouse.com. You can email me at froggyforhouse@gmail.com. And since I will be coming most likely to your door to talk to you, it's only fair that you can feel free to also reach me. I'm going to give you my personal cell phone. This is how I want to lead in the legislature, 240-7522. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
All right. The Buckmaster Show continues at 12:16. We'll be right back on this Thursday afternoon. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Enhance Openings, Windows, Doors, and More, featuring Pella replacement windows. You already know how my design team can enhance any special event. Now imagine enhancing your home with new Pella energy-efficient windows. Are your windows and doors old and worn out? Maybe your windows leak water when it rains. With those problems, why keep giving your money away to the utility company because your windows are inefficient? It's our free Pella Windows and Doors installation giveaway sale. Receive an estimate this month and we will install them for free. That's right, this month only. Your purchase of new Pella products will be installed for free. Act today. Call this number and this number only, 520-886-1602. 886-1602. Don't let these savings pass you by. Call this number, 886-1602. That's 886-1602. For the free Pella installation sale by Enhance Openings. EnhanceOpenings.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at AdobeHouseAntiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Tom Holm, who is a Cherokee and Crete Native American, is the author of two fiction books featuring J.D. Doherty. Mr. Doherty is a crusty ex-cop who has set up his own private investigative firm in Tulsa, Oklahoma, just after the First World War. The first book in the series is Osage Rose, followed last fall by Anna Darko, both published by the University of Arizona Press. Dr. Holm is the author of several works of nonfiction, including Code Talkers and Warriors, Native Americans in World War II, The Great Confusion in Indian Affairs, Native Americans and Whites in the Progressive Era, and Strong Hearts, Wounded Souls, Native American Veterans of the Vietnam War. Dr. Holm served in Vietnam with the United States Marines. He is now Professor Emeritus in the Department of American Indian Studies at the University of Arizona. And Tom, this is like a reunion for you and I.
That's true.
I first met you, my goodness, must be almost 20 years ago, over on the TV show when the book Strong Hearts, Wounded Souls, Native American Veterans in Vietnam came out.
In 96.
Yeah. Wow. How many Native American, what percentage, it must have been quite small, of Native Americans that were in Vietnam? Or was it?
There were new numbers come every once in a while, and it, the last count of Native Vietnam veterans goes right at 100,000.
Wow, that many.
So that's quite
a few. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's quite a few.
Yeah, so almost like disproportionately.
It has been, yeah. Just my friends up on San Carlos Reservation, I think we ran a count. There were not just Vietnam veterans, mm-hmm. but all veterans on the reservation itself or from San Carlos Apaches were something like 11% of the entire reservation. So that's about three times the national average.
When you came up with the idea for your character, J.D. Doherty, and he's got a buddy, right?
That's Hooley. Hooley.
J.D. and Hooley. Mm-hmm. Where did these guys come from in your mind?
Oh, gosh. Let's see.
The dark recesses of your mind.
my mind.
Yeah.
Hooley is kind of, he's my hero. His name is actually there's a Cherokee word, Ahuli, and it's and it literally it means big mouth, but it can be served and used as drum or bell mm-hmm. or something like that. That anyway, Hooley is a composite of several people that I grew up with and know.
In Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma.
And that's kind of why you set the book, well, the first book, in the 1920s. Not that you're that old, but you probably had heard of the Tulsa race riots growing up, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of like the backdrop for the first book, The Osage Rose.
As were the Osage murders that were going on in the 1920s.
And a lot of people don't know about those Tulsa race riots, but that was really a nasty time in this country.
Yeah, it was, well, the race riots themselves, it was actually a very, very successful African-American community in North Tulsa, and doing well, it was segregated, but at the same time, the community itself was like I said, very well. It was, they were getting along pretty well financially. Then the Ku Klux Klan and just all kinds of economic problems hit Tulsa, and then it erupted over a guy by the name of Dick Rowland, who was accused of trying to rape a young woman at a department store in town. So there was a lynch mob that was going to go to take him out of the jail, and the police had hid him away somewhere else, and there was a group of African Americans, a large number of them apparently were veterans of World War I, who confronted the lynch mob, and it led to shots being fired, and then almost the whole north side of Tucson was actually burned.
Of Tulsa. That's all right.
Been here for a long time.
So. That's why I have to be a keen listener.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about Anadarko. So we know Osage Rose is against the backdrop of the Tulsa race riots. How about Anadarko?
Anadarko.
The follow-up book.
Again, it's J.D. and Hooley that go out, and they're looking for a particular man who is from Tulsa, and he was out, and he's a geologist, and the Anadarko Basin itself is one of the richest, I guess, natural gas areas, and it was not really tapped into until after the time it set in the 1923-24. But the things that are going on at the time is that the governor of Oklahoma at that time was trying to rid the state of the Ku Klux Klan, and the Klan resisted, and eventually he was impeached. That kind of background, but also there was a lot of rum running and booze and, and that whole thing going on, because
fertile ground for a writer of detective stories, let's put it that way.
Yes, sir, very much so.
How did you get involved with writing mysteries? Why did you do that?
Oh, my God.
Was that something you thought about for a long time? Or?
I did. I've been wanting to move towards writing fiction for quite a while now, and this seemed like a kind of a fun thing to do more than the academic.
Do you have an influence books in this writing? Is somebody that you look to?
Oh gosh, all of them. from Dashiell Hammett to Agatha Christie to as a matter of fact, a couple of Dorothy Sayers and the like. The one thing about Anadarko is that there's a kind of a theme in mystery stories, particularly in English mystery stories, about gathering all of the suspects into one room and then.
Right.
And so, well, I set that in a teepee.
In a teepee?
Yes, sir.
So that's a new twist on kind of an old theme, right?
Yeah, I tried. Yeah. Anyway.
So you did these take quite a few years to do, or what's your work ethic when it comes to this?
Oh, well, I was having so much fun with it. Osage Rose I wrote within 4 months.
Once you sat down to
I just it just started coming and it just rolled on and on and on. And the research on it was fairly interesting to do because I knew nothing about Irish Catholic folks. And J.D., I just happened to kind of take the character because there were it just seemed fitting for some reason. And so what I got into was a lot of Irish folk tales. And that's, and I think, you know, I've had banshees in there now, and I've had...
well, we're great storytellers. I'm half Irish, and I can tell you, yeah, we love a good story. And so, J.D., his character really rings true to me, I'll tell you.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm all right. Happy to hear that.
Yeah. Tom Holm, good to see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill, very much.
Tom Holm will sign copies of his two books in the J.D. Doherty Detective Series. It's a fun series. I highly recommend it. The Osage Rose and Anna Darko, the two books, both from University of Arizona Press. Tom's going to be at Barnes & Noble in the Foothills Mall on Saturday, August 13th. Drop by, say hello to him. He'll be there from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on Saturday the 13th. Be right back.
I'm Patrice Ross with Oracle Ford. Our summer freedom sale's almost over, and so are the great financing offers. Oracle Ford is offering 0% for 72 months on our most popular cars, trucks, and SUVs. Plus, at Oracle Ford, every model in stock has been discounted, and no dealer ads and no city sales tax. You can't beat our out-the-door prices. And at Oracle Ford, if you want one of our remaining 15 F-150s or Ford Edges, you'll get 0% for 72 months, plus $2,000 cash back. So take the short drive to Oracle Ford, where you'll find 0% financing for 72 months and $2,000 cash back on select models. Plus, you'll love our friendly atmosphere and the way we do business. Oracle Ford, drive a little, save a lot, and no city sales tax or dealer ads. FMC financing on approved credit.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we talk with Congressman Raul Grijalva. Our Friday roundtable features Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic and Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us on the Buckmaster Show, the 2016 Clay Festival. Just think of everything to do with pottery. That's what's going on over in Silver City this weekend, July 23rd. And actually, it goes more than this weekend. It's like a week-long deal. It goes through the end of the month. And they are offering a multitude of clay-centric events for all ages in Silver City, which is just 3 hours east of Tucson. Based on the theme from Oaxaca to Santa Fe, this year's festival branches out to areas of land use, native foods, and archaeology, along with traditional clay art aspect. You can find out about the Clay Festival 2016, about the many places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, like Bear Mountain Lodge, and the many things to do, even beside the Clay Festival, like hiking in the Gila, by going to southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now one of the 24 or so fine contributors to the Buckmaster Show. He is David Safir. He writes about education in the section of the TucsonWeekly.com known as The Range, like a wide range of issues from A to Z. David, good to see you.
Good seeing you too, Bill.
Okay. Is my question for you, get things rolling here, is this dust-up around Tucson Unified School District, teacher salaries, and Prop 123 justified?
Short answer, no. And I'll explain that in a longer answer, but I'll go back to the article in the Star that started this. The article in the Star was a front page article about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and the headline said, Tucson Unified going slow on teacher raises despite Prop 123. And I kind of, my heart sank. I didn't want that to be true. And I read it, and it really sounded like it was true as I read it, that they only spent a third of the money from Prop 123 on salaries. There was only a $700 raise, and everybody else gave bigger raises. So as I do with things like that, I read it over two or three times, and there were holes there. I could not. So the first thing I wrote is that I don't understand this, especially since the TUSD website said there was a $2,000 raise for returning teachers, not $700. So I went back, I retooled, I read everything I could read, I looked at teacher contracts, I looked at salary schedules, and I found that, bottom line, and I'll explain this in more detail, TUSD gave its returning teachers a $2,000 raise. That's documented. It's right there on paper on the salary schedule. And as a matter of fact, other people have confirmed that in things they've written. And what happened was that the writer of the article in the Star simply omitted one factor. And the one factor she omitted was, true, There was a $700 raise when the Prop 301 money came through, but a week before, they put in a $1,300 raise. $1,300 plus $700 equals $2,000, which is very similar to what other districts did. So the districts gave the money out in different ways, pretty much the same amount of raise for a teacher all across the Tucson area.
So this was the article about 10 days ago, right?
Right.
On the front page of the Star. My friend Tim Steller then did a piece about 123. That was like about a week later.
Last Sunday.
I think it was a week ago Sunday. Week ago Sunday.
Right. Yeah. And I have to say, I really love the work Steller does.
Yeah,
I read his stuff cover to cover.
Big
He's very
fan
careful.
Of Tim. He appears on our Friday show.
In this one case, Bill, and I'm saying in this one case, he missed the boat on it.
Okay.
He admitted that it wasn't quite like the article said, but he then said, but they still reneged because they only gave a third of their money. So I want to give you an analogy here. It's hard to parse this all out. So let's take a situation. A husband and a wife have two teenage kids, and the husband and wife don't make enough money to give their kids everything they want, you know, in terms of money and things of that nature.
And they wish list for Christmas.
There you go. So the husband is in line for a possible bonus at work.
Right.
So he says to his two teenage kids, listen, when that bonus comes through, I'm going to give each of you $100. Mm-hmm. I just want you to have it. You spend it any way you want. That's $100 yours. I promise, guaranteed, when I get the bonus. Well, a week before the bonus comes through in this story that I'm putting together, all of a sudden he's worried it may not come through. Things are changing at work. He's not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he may not have the $100 to give his kids. So he calls them together a week before and he says, listen, kids, I'm going to give you $60 right now, unconditionally. I don't know if the bonus is coming through or not. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you $60 right now. Mm-hmm. You've got it. If I get the bonus, I'll give you the other $40.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, the bonus comes through.
Mm-hmm.
He gives them the other $40. They've got $100 just like he promised.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you say about that guy, he lied to his kids because he said he was going to give them $100 after the bonus and he only gave them $40?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, that's absurd. He actually guaranteed the money that he didn't know that he would have, that he had to scrape out of some other expenses. That's exactly what TUSD did. A week before at the meeting, a week before the vote on Prop 123, they voted in a $1,300 raise and wrote a contract. And I've seen the contract and I've seen the salary schedule, compared it to the salary schedule the year before. There is a $1,300 raise for every teacher continuing in the district. And they also wrote something in there saying, this is written in the contract, if we get more money, we reserve the right to open the contract to give you more money if it comes. And that's exactly what they did. When Prop 123 passed, they said, we're going to add $700 to the $1,300, and now you're getting $2,000. Unfortunately, the article in the Star didn't talk about that $1,300, and they said TUSD only gave $700. So it was a gross misrepresentation, and I think was large enough, honestly, that I think the Star should print. I rarely say this, but I think they should print a new article explaining that, because so clear. I did so much work. I looked at it so carefully, Bill, to make sure that I wasn't wrong about this. And afterwards, after I figured it all out, I talked to Dr. Sanchez, the superintendent, and he and I confirmed the numbers to make sure I got it right. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't him giving it to me. All I did was confirm what I had found out on my own, which I tell you is go to the bank. Correct.
All right, let's go to Cynthia, who's been waiting very patiently. Cynthia, what is your opinion on all of this?
Well, from what I understand, some of that money came from a previous bond. So the additional $700 they put, that is the amount that needs to be totaled up from the 123 proposition. They cannot add that $1,300 because that did not come out from the 123 money. And I want to know what they're doing, and nobody has reported this, with the rest of the money, because that is certainly a pittance that is going to the teachers.
Okay, Cynthia, let me explain this to you. I think I just explained it. But when they gave them the $1,300, it didn't come out of a bond. As a matter of fact, what they said is, we're going to dip into funds for capital funds. We're going to take money out of funds we wanted for computers and school repairs and all kinds of things like that. And instead of using it for that, we're going to give it to the teachers as a much-needed raise. Then, when they got the 1-2-3 money, they gave the rest of the money to the teachers, and guess what they did? They put the money back into the capital funds. So if you think about your own personal finances and you say, I'm going to take money out of the fund that I had to buy a new computer to do something else, and then when you get more money, you put the money back in the fund for the computer, that's what happened. Really, this was not stealing. It was not wrong. As a matter of fact, they made a guarantee to their teachers that no other district, so far as I know, made in the whole area, which is, even if Prop 123 doesn't pass, you get $1,300.
All right. Lillian, before we take our break, she says David's numbers are wrong. Hello, Lillian.
Yes, I follow TUSD's finances in a lot of detail. He's on May 10th, TUSD voted to use 301 money to give teachers an $800 raise. 301 money is very restricted, so $800 of it came from 301 money. It did not come from capital, and it cannot be replaced by 123 money. If Mr. Safir had looked at the teacher pay scale, he would have seen there are three columns. Two columns are for 301 money. The $800 is in those two columns that are only 301 money. I go to every board meeting. I've got the copies of the chief financial officer's presentation. She never claimed anything like he's claiming. Her figures show 38% of the money, the 123 money, is going to employees, 26.5% is going to teachers, period. His claim that 80-odd percent of it is going to employees is just not right. Her numbers show 62% of the money, or $6 million, is going for other stuff.
Okay, Lillian, I know that you look at this very carefully, and I know you go to all the board meetings and you research this very deeply. And if I was incorrect about it coming from capital funds, I apologize if it came from 301 money. But I do know the reason why the money was given, that $1,300 beforehand. And I know if you couple those two things together, I know you want to separate them. But when I was a teacher, all I cared about was my paycheck, what it looked like in terms of salary. And the teachers are going to see a $2,000 raise who return. And if you think about all of that money as 1-2-3 money, as new money, 75% of the total of new money goes to all of that salary raise, and a total of 86% of the money goes to all the raises, including teachers and classified. And I know you see it differently, Lillian, but that really is, in terms of someone who's been a teacher and knows what happens to a paycheck, that's what happened to the teacher's paycheck and what they'll get as soon as they return to school.
The only thing you've said that's correct is that teachers are getting a $2,000 raise. It is not new money. The 301 money is coming out of a $19.7 million surplus of unspent 301 money that should have been paid to teachers 3 years ago. This is not capital money. And if what was happening is what you said, then it would have showed up in Ms. Soto's presentations. It's not there. The only thing you've said is that it still stands that teachers are only getting 26.5% of the 123 money.
Well, I'm glad, Lily.
Excuse me. You've added apples and oranges together. Let me finish. And you can't do that. You've tried to make it look like teachers are getting the vast, or employees are getting the vast majority of the 123 money. That is true in some districts. That is not true in TUSD.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. Let me finish. I'm glad to see that you agree that they're getting $2,000 more. And I think, I don't know if you will, but I think you'll agree that they're getting more or less the amount of money in different packages in different ways that are being gotten in other districts.
I
don't believe that TUSD has cheated its teachers or given them less compensation than other districts have in the area.
Six of the nine big districts, and those are the ones TUSD should be compared to. Last year, we're getting as much more money than TUSD will get next year. Those districts took additional money that when they got the 123 money, they're further increasing their salaries. Catalina Foothills last year was paying its teachers more than TUSD will get next year.
Lillian, you're
shortchanged its teachers.
You're changing the subject. You're talking about prior and current, and I'm talking about the amount of money that was given added to what existed. And that is a completely different subject, which you're bringing up, Lillian, that may be a valid subject to bring up.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Gotta go. Thank you so much, though, for contributing. Thank you. Lillian, disagreeing with David Safir, 790-2040. If you'd like to call in, I'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Enhance Openings, Windows, Doors, and More, featuring Pella replacement windows. You already know how my design team can enhance any special event. Now imagine enhancing your home with new Pella energy-efficient windows. Are your windows and doors old and worn out? Maybe your windows leak water when it rains. With those problems, why keep giving your money away to the utility company because your windows are inefficient? It's our free Pella Windows and Doors installation giveaway sale. Receive an estimate this month and we will install them for free. That's right, this month only. Your purchase of new Pella products will be installed for free. Act today. Call this number and this number only, 520-886-1602. 886-1602. Don't let these savings pass you by. Call this number, 886-1602. That's 886-1602 for the free Pella installation sale by Enhance Openings. EnhanceOpenings.com.
Tucson's spectacular thunderstorms are here. With all that rain and showy lightning comes a little craziness. Tohono O'Toole Park's Monsoon Madness Plant Sale is July 29th and July 30th. Featuring the largest contingent of Arizona's unique plant growers, afford a rare opportunity to access the area's foremost plant experts. Come see us at 733 North Paseo del Norte, Friday, July 29th from 3 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, July 30th from 8 to 1 p.m. Visit our website at TohonoO'toolePark.org.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with businesses they trust. Hi, this is Alan Schultz with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, here to remind you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week. Are you accredited? To apply today, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to start with trust.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Green Things. Green Things on 13 acres at 3384 East River Road. They had Thursday morning at 8, they do the Farmer's Market and Artisan's Market, another successful one today. Then Saturday and Sunday, free gardening workshops, 10 a.m. both days. Check it out, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. I can't say enough good things about greenthingsaz.com, where you can find the full listing of the many services they offer. David Safir is here. And David, I noticed in your column on, well, you write about education at TucsonWeekly.com and the range, you were noting that it has been 2 months now since the vote on Proposition 123, and we do not know what the so-called second step will be with the governor on education funding.
Right, and this is a perfect transition from what we were talking about before, because we just talked about Prop 123 money coming in because it barely passed, and so the districts actually did get more money, which is a good thing whether you like how the money came or not, and I know a lot of people don't, and I'm not pleased where it came from. But they got money. However, the state still owes the schools money, according to the courts, at least another $1 billion total, and they still have done nothing but at the most bring it back to even year by year. It's a terrible situation. We haven't moved up a notch from being 48th or 49th or 50th, depending on which scale you use, who's counting, in our per student funding. And here's the deal. Ducey, as he was selling Prop 123, said, of course this is only a first step. He never said what the next step was. Of course it's only a first step. And people then could read what the next step would be. And he wanted people to think this is only the beginning of the money that's going to flow. Well, the next day, the reporters asked him, so what's the next step? And he said, he joked, and he says, well, I'm taking the weekend off. Well, he's taken 2 months off. He has not said a word
about
it since.
What is the next step? I mean, well, what would you like the next step
to be? Oh, the next step should be increased funding. By doing Prop 123 the way they did it, and taking the money from the state land trust, which was terrible, even though I voted for it because I wanted that money, and I'm so happy the teachers are getting salary hikes. By doing that, he dodged the idea of taking it out of the budget. So the budget stays pretty much where it was, and he took funds, basically you can say, from the student's trust fund rather than taking it out of the state's bank account, you know, and paying it that way. I think they have to put more in from the state's bank account. I think the budget next year should not only reflect inflation, which it always does, and not only reflect the extra number of students in school, because every year they have to adjust that way, but it should be a per student raise. And that's what Governor Ducey should say, and that's what I believe he won't say, and that's why he doesn't want to say what the next step is. And I say, listen, you tell us what our next step is so we can pat you on the back, or we can yell at you that you've got it wrong. But right now he is keeping unbelievably silent, and it's a problem. He shouldn't do that. That is a maybe good politics, but bad human relations.
And the education advocates, of which there are very many in this state, had feared something like this. They had feared that this would be 123 would pass, and then back burner education again.
Sure, and every education organization that worked with Ducey said this is a first step and we need more funding.
All right, Matthew has called. Matthew, I have literally 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, David, what's the status of the online school K-12 that is being investigated for, by the states for not actually having those students in their classes or in their enrollment. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, very short. There is an online school, K-12 Inc., and we have one of their schools here, Arizona Virtual Academy, which isn't being investigated, but they were just sued, and they had to make a settlement in the state of California by misrepresenting themselves to the parents and also misrepresenting to the states how many students they have. And I think that's what Matthew was talking about. We're going to hear more about that, because right now there is a suit by the stockholders, class action, that they've been lied to as well. So that's going to continue.
They operate in Arizona?
Yes, Arizona Virtual Academy. They have about 4,000 students who never walk into a school. They work out of their computers at home. Okay. And it's a good setup for the very few kids who are motivated enough, but most students get a lousy education, drop out, go back to the school they were at, end up further behind than they were before. I don't like online education as a mass for-profit education movement.
The opinion of David Safir, who writes for the Range. He writes for Tucson Weekly, the Range column, and he covers education. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon, For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen, my friends. They do a great job. And we have, of course, more talk tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, Wake Up Tucson, the Daily Double with Christy Simone and a different guest host. And then I do the Friday roundtable and our Friday focus interview. United States Representative from District Number 3, Raul Grijalva, will be my guest. Till then, Ray Allen and Bill Buckmaster wishing you a great afternoon and evening.